Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, February 5th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. A Sitka woman will spend another year in jail for her involvement with methamphetamine. Sitka Superior Court Judge David George sentenced 45-year-old Tina Betancourt to 22 months in prison for third-degree misconduct involving a controlled substance. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
Tina Betancourt has been in jail since November 2011. She was charged after a drug bust 2 months earlier at her home in the 1500 block of Johnston Street. Police found guns, cash, and a variety of drugs, including meth, cocaine, heroin, and prescription medication. Betancourt's sentence is 22 months, but that includes the time she's already spent in jail. She has less than half of her sentence actually left to serve. Originally, Tina Betancourt faced 7 drug-related counts, but the other 6 were dismissed. The bust that led to her arrest also included her husband and son. Charges in the drug case against 23-year-old Jeffrey Betancourt were dismissed, but he did plead guilty last week to assault in connection with the 2010 case. 45-year-old Christopher Betancourt's case is still pending before the court. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
A bill sponsored by Governor Sean Parnell to relax cruise ship wastewater standards passed the House on Monday. A similar measure is nearing a floor vote in the Senate. In committee hearings on Senate Bill 29 and House Bill 80, much of the testimony has focused around a preliminary report by the Cruise Ship Wastewater Science Advisory Panel. The report concludes that cruise ships have gone as far as possible towards meeting the state standards and that there's little benefit to the environment to be gained, even by spending millions more on technology. A member of the majority opinion on the science advisory panel stands by that claim, but the co-author of the 2006 ballot initiative, which imposed the standards, disputes it. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Ames resident Gershon Cohen's background is in molecular biology. He's frustrated by how proponents of the bills are framing their argument.
Well, the department's trying to say that they're doing this on the basis of the best science, and that's completely backwards. The best science are the water quality standards. Those are the limits that have been found through scientific experimentation to provide protection for fish or humans or whatever standard you're using.
In this case, the standard is for marine organisms. Cohen calls the administration's effort to relax wastewater standards risk management, not science.
That's a black and white world, and we don't live in a black and white world.
Sitkin Steve Reifenstuhl has been on the cruise ship wastewater science advisory panel since 2009.
It's important to look at the context. If we applied these standards to the city of Sitka, the Blue Lake Dam would look like it was cheap.
Blue Lake is priced at roughly $140 million, the most expensive project in Sitka's history. Reifenstuhl is a biologist and a pragmatist.
The effluent and the waiver that every city's gotten that's on the ocean from Anchorage to Ketchikan puts out way more effluent on them, and even the metals. They didn't even have to document nickel and zinc, but in copper, ammonia. I mean, it's many times what the cruise ships put out.
Gershon Cohen was initially appointed to the science advisory panel, but his name was pulled 3 weeks before the group convened because of opposition from the industry, he says. Cohen, who co-wrote the language in the initiative that created the panel, says it was supposed to be looking at alternative technologies like reverse osmosis.
And they ended up spending a lot of their time talking about how they were going to change the rule and whether or not the discharges that are there now are okay and whether or not the equipment there is satisfactory. And that wasn't supposed to be what they were supposed to be doing.
Cohen says there is no recognized standard for advanced wastewater treatment systems used by cruise ships. He calls AWTS a public relations term. The bills before the House and Senate would sample wastewater not at the point of discharge, but in a mixing zone outside the ship. Proponents say this is what coastal cities do. Cohen says ships are cities that move.
You can't survey what the water quality and what the organisms are like before, during, and after the discharge. So there will be absolutely no accountability.
Reifenstuhl says cruise ships have been towing the line since the late 1990s following a series of egregious discharge violations. He suggests they're less accountable than the rest of us for the cleanliness of the water.
So if you just look at the million people that visit Alaska on cruise ships every year, 70% of those, 700,000, times the 5 days they're in Alaska, compared to the 700,000 citizens of Alaska that are here for 365 days a year, you do the math on that, which I've done, and it's 20 times more.
As general manager of the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, Reifenstuhl has a vested interest in fisheries. He's visited several ships and seen the effluent that's discharged. It often looks clear, but heavy metals wouldn't color a glass of water. I asked him, what if a cruise ship discharged in front of Bear Cove, where Enseraz Medvici Hatchery sits just outside of Sitka? He said this was already happening in Juneau, where every ship calls.
There's 15 million chum salmon, there's Chinook salmon, and there's coho salmon released right there. So that's very close, and those fish are going to swim right by the cruise ships. There's also, 100 million chum salmon released just north of Gastineau Channel. And so those fish are in those waters. So would I be comfortable, as long as it's sort of what's happening in the Juneau waterfront, I would be comfortable.
Cohen says the passage of the bills would be a setback to Alaska's image and provide a toehold for the farmed fish industry.
So much for Alaska producing fish that's coming from pristine water. I think it's a serious mistake, and it's basically just caving into an industry demand that's absolutely unnecessary.
The 191-page report from the Cruise Ship Wastewater Science Advisory Panel is preliminary and references about 500 pages of data. Reifenstuhl thinks the panel could meet for at least another 2 years to finish its work. He welcomes peer review of the group's findings. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Last week, the Sitka Jazz Festival brought students and professional jazz musicians together for workshops and concerts. In a series of audio postcards, KCAW takes you behind the scenes to hear what went on without an audience. Today, renowned jazz singer Barbara Morrison talks about what her favorite song, Never Let Me Go, written by Ray Evans, means to her.
Never let me go. Love me much too much if you let me go.
Cracks me up when the kids sing it. I mean, they never had a boyfriend or a girlfriend.
But some of them can put so much feeling in it. You can feel it. Life would lose its touch. What would I be without you? There's no place for me.
I relate to my mother. My father used to work, and my mother would sneak out of the house and go pick him up. It was thundering and lightning, and I'm the oldest of six, and I didn't know what to do, so I got all the kids up and put them in the closet.
Love me much too much if you let me go.
And she said, oh, don't worry, baby. I said, Mom, don't leave us, don't leave us. And she said, no, baby, I'll never let you go, I'll never let you go. And when she died, I remembered, I said, you said you'd never let me go. So I was a kid, and I can relate to the song.
There's no place for me without you. Never let me go.
So pretty. That's my favorite.
That was jazz legend Barbara Morrison talking about her favorite song, Never Let Me Go by Ray Evans. Tonight, musician and teacher Bob Athade says talent requires effort. Sitka's population grew in the last year. It's the first time the community has topped 9,000 residents in 6 years. And as Joe Vicnicki reports, Sitka is not alone.
The Department of Labor estimates the state's population has grown by a little more than 3% over the past 2 years, gaining more than 22,000 people. In Southeast, the growth during that time has been nearly 4%. State demographer Eddie Hunsinger says the region has gained about 2,800 people over that time.
This last year, 11 to 12, there wasn't as much gain as there was between 10 and 11.
The estimate for Southeast is over 74,400 people. That's the highest it's ever been. The region's largest population growth has been in the city and borough of Juneau, which gained more than 1,500 people over the past 2 years. The increases are attributed to natural growth, or more births than deaths, as well as new people moving into Southeast. And Hunsinger notes that the gains are not just limited to the largest communities.
Well, Hunangoon had a little bit more growth than they did between 11 and 12 than they did between 10 and 11. Most of the sort of boroughs and census areas in Southeast Alaska, sort of the sub-parts of the region, Still gained between 11 and 12, but not quite as much as 10 and 11.
City and borough of Sitka is up by 203 people, and Wranglesboro increased by 79 over that time. In the Petersburg census area, which includes Cake and Kuprinoff, 122 people were added in the past 2 years. The only areas seeing declines in the past 2 years were Skagway and Yakutat. Melani Shivens with the Juneau-based consulting firm Scheinberg Associates points out that the region's numbers have been rising since 2007.
The story that has been told about Southeast Alaska is that we're having downward trends, we're losing population, and when you look at the numbers now, you see that's not true anymore, that we ended that in 2007, and 2012 was our top population year ever in the history of the region, and so I think it's really, if you're looking at the numbers as a whole, it really tells a different story about what we are now and where we're headed as a region now.
The Department of Labor's annual estimates are based on a count of permanent fund dividend applications and other data. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
A grand jury on Friday indicted 26-year-old Angoon man on 4 charges of sexual abuse of a minor. Joshua W. Cole faces 1 count in the first degree and 3 counts in the second degree. The indictment alleges he had sexual contact with a young girl in March 2011 and again in October 2012. Cole is being held at Lemon Creek Correctional Center on a $50,000 bond. He appeared by phone for his arraignment yesterday in Sitka Superior Court. If convicted, he faces up to 35 years in prison. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Here in Sitka, today it's going to be mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain and snow in the morning and then a chance of rain in the afternoon. Highs around 42 with east wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. KCAW, Sitka.